Let me get the right mic going so that you guys can hear me.
Totally forgot that I was going to.
You know what? I'm not going to use this one today just because I want to use my flip chart, and I'm going to get it in camera so where you guys can see what I'm talking about today. There we go. That's much better. All right. So today we're talking about restriction and special diets. This is a topic you guys have asked for a long time, and I really wanted to give it to you so that you could understand really what restriction is about. So even if you do not need to do a special diet, if you feel restricted, if you are dealing with restriction thoughts around food and stuff, I think that this is going to be helpful. So the way that I want to do it is I want to just explain this with the Think, Feel, Do cycle, wrote it out for you guys. And then I want to do some coaching around anybody who is either doing a special diet, embarking on a special diet, or anything like that. Okay. So the first thing we have to remember is that we all have the Think, Feel, Do cycle. And if you are going to do any kind of special diet, whether it is, you know, maybe you have to go no sugar, no flour. Maybe you, your doctor has said, the diabetes is fixing to go out of control. I need you to cut these foods. Maybe you're having all kinds of tummy issues and you're going to need to do, I think it's called the FODMAP. Like, there's all kinds of diets out there that are specially designed to help people with chronic health problems, you know, I don't want to say diseases, but diseases. Like, for sometimes when people have cancer and stuff, they need to go on a very special diet or a very special regimen to be able to help them be like their healthiest best while they're going through treatment. So this is where we get hosed. The first thing we have to realize is that a special diet, and guys, this literally can be the four basics. I want y'all to think about it. We're just putting up here four basics. Weight Watchers, no sugar, no flour, whole plant foods. Like, there's all kinds of diets. The keto, anything up there, we're just going to stick it up here. None of it means anything until you have a thought about it. Not one thing. One person's four basics could be like, hell yeah, simplest thing I've ever done. And the next person's like, I don't know. I've never been able to lose weight. This seems like I'm not going to be able to pick the foods I want. That's how we know that all this is right here is just something that we are going to have a thought about. Now, when we talk about restriction, a lot of you, that just triggers all kinds of bullshit. Y'all have no, like, you have one working definition. It's bad. That's it. It shouldn't be happening. It's unfair. Y'all have a lot of thoughts about restriction. So when it comes to journaling, the first thing that I would do for all of you is I would just write the word restriction on a piece of paper. You can always feel free to use this beautiful journal that I give you guys, the planner. Go to the back to the journaling pages and write the word restriction and then write what you think about it. The word in and of itself is not bad. It's our thoughts about it. So very often when you guys are going to have some kind of a special diet, the first thing that you do is you feel restricted and you don't like it. And feeling restricted comes from allowing your brain to, when it's thinking about your special diet, to overly focus and get very consumed in thoughts like, it's unfair because I should be eating these things. I can't have, and now you're overly focused on all the things you can't have. I have to. My doctor made me. They said I would have to do this. We have to make sure that we understand when we are over-identifying with what we think's unfair. And we're spending a lot of time there. That is what causes the feeling of restriction. It is not the foods. It is not the things you can and cannot have. It is, where are you applying all your focus? Are you over-identifying on what's wrong? So when we feel restricted, guess what we do? Here we go down to our, I put down A, I should have put down the D, because we do the Think, Feel, Do cycle. I'm still a little hungover from the my life coach school training, where we actually have an A in that line. So Let me just make this a D so I don't confuse anybody. This is the do line of the think, feel, do cycle. So what do? We either are avoiding the restrictions, like we're like, ugh, I'm just going to sit here. I'm going to worry about this. I'm going to sit around and just overly focus on how terrible this is. I'm going to go talk to my mama about how I hate that I have to do this. Then we're going to text my best friend and tell her, like, have you heard this bullshit I got to do? Like, we just go off into a tornado of avoiding actually trying it to see what it's going to be like. Or we force ourselves to do it. Every single time you take a bite, every single time you'll say things like, I have to eat this. I can't have these things anymore. So unfair. We are forcing ourselves, but I'm going to do it anyway. When we come at it from restriction, you wonder why it feels like ass. It ain't because of this. It's because of where you're spending your brain energy. Where is your mind residing? Now, here's the other side. We put restriction in the doing. So restriction can just be a feeling. It can also be something that you do. All of us restrict all the time. We restrict all kinds of stuff that we don't bitch about. I restrict myself to only using my toilets. I don't pee on the floor. I could, but I have a tight restriction that I don't like doing that in my house. I have very good thoughts about it. There's all kinds of things that we restrict all the time. I follow a lot. Let's not say all the speed laws. Every now and then on the interstate, I might be known to go 10, 20 miles per hour of speed limit. I try not to, though. I drive a Jaguar. It's very easy to let that little thing go. But I follow guidelines. When I'm driving down the street, if there's a stop sign, I follow the restriction. I stop. So we're always being restricted all the time. There's lots of restrictions that we want to have. I restrict all the time with my bank account. I don't spend more than I got. That's a restriction. So when you're practicing restriction on the do line, this is what ends up happening. Your thoughts are coming from, I choose not to overspend. I choose not to overeat. That's a restriction. Eating only to enough and only when you're hungry, I'm restricting myself from all the overeating now because I choose to. I'm willing is another thought that you can apply to all of this. It's worth it because what we want to do is we want to over-identify with language around I choose to do this for these reasons and they're important versus it's unfair because blah, 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 and never even thinking about why we would do it. There's not a soul in here that absolutely has to eat a certain way. Every single one of you, if you are doing any kind of special diet, it is because you choose to. There are people who will eat themselves into the grave. My grandmother was one of them. My grandmother had diabetes. It started, I think, when she was about 70 or so. And they gave her medicine and everything. And they told her, it's like, we gave you medicine. But if you don't control and start getting the sugar out of your diet, you know, it's going to eat you alive eventually. We can only do so much. She never would let it go. She just always truly believed it was unfair. She liked sugar. And she just said, they're going to control it with the meds. Well, she got a pancreatic cancer and then died. Directly related. That's why I'm telling you. You choose whether you do it or not. The question is, are you going to be thinking, I choose to or I have to? When you fall into the I have to thinking, I can't have thinking, only focusing on why it's unfair, you will feel restricted. That will be your choice. To try to do it this way, to make yourself miserable, to have more urges. This drives urges. When you are thinking it's unfair because, guess what? You are cranking up urge talk. When you are saying, I have to eat this and I can't have that, you are cranking up the urge talk. this is a very big trigger for your brain to be like, oh, let's just send up an urge. She's feeling so restricted. When you are in the other side, when you are overly focusing, overly identifying with, I choose to, I get to, I'm willing to. Here's all the reasons why it's important. Sometimes I miss other foods, but I really want to focus on it's worth it because we have to overly identify on this side. You can't take days off on this one. You have to get so good at catching yourself when you're talking restrictive to yourself and rerouting it. All of these restrictive thoughts, they are just old shitties that are coming in. I teach you guys the 4-step process for old shitty all the time. I'll review it in just a second in case anybody in the back has missed it. But when you do these things, guess what the feeling starts becoming? When you're overly identifying with, I choose to, it's worth it because I'm willing, you start moving into your empowered state. You are taking authority and control. When you have an empowered state and you're taking authority and control over your thinking around what you're doing, you start reducing the triggers for urges. You start identifying as someone eating in the new way for a very good reason, for all of your whys and who you want to be. When that happens, the restrictions just become implemented. You just start doing the things. You're not sitting around stewing and texting your mama. Guess what? You just eat your damn salad and you move on with your day. So that way, if you're texting your mama and calling up your best friend, you're talking about life. You're not talking about all this bullshit about your damn diet. You're moving on to better things. So let me just tell you, do not remember all of the have-tos. All of the restrictive thoughts, they're going to come in. Number one, they're just old shitties. The first thing is get aware. You have to hear them. They're not going away, but it don't matter. All we want to do is I want you to start hearing them so that you can change the conversation. All that matters is what's going to be the last word. That's all that matters. Are you going to give that equal airtime or not? If you don't give equal airtime to why it's worth it, reminding yourself, it's like, not that I have to eat this. I'm choosing to eat this way, and here's why. Calm yourself down that way. Number two, when you hear all of it, you got to be the scientist, not the judge. We don't argue with old shitty. We don't wish old shitty away. We don't think it's unfair that we have old shitty. We stop wearing ourselves out emotionally around a thought. Old shitty, when you hear it, is a sentence. It's not a death sentence. So we become the scientist. The scientist is like, what's going to be the next thought? It's a very boring thing. Number three, new thought. You slap it on. You might say, I have to eat this, but I'm remembering that I choose to. I have to eat this, or I can't have that, is a lie. It's that I'm choosing to eat these things for this reason. So we add on the new thought because you're going to hold both for a while. You're always going to have old shitty who's coming to the party. But what we want is we want to make sure old shitty is smelling like a rose. So we're going to have this thought and we're also going to have this one. The one that you end on is always the most important. It's like, I felt a little restricted. I started to feel restricted because I was thinking this, but I'm reminding myself this is worth it. that one day I'll be so proud of myself. It's not near as bad as I think it is. It's just a meal. And when you do that, you calm yourself down. And then the last thing is, do the thing you said you'd do. The best way to make sure old shitties start going away or start lessening, stop being so loud, or for them to start becoming just like nothing. But you just hear it and you're just like, whatever. And I'm moving on. Is the more you do the things from a place of redirection with a new thought, the more your mind starts noticing the new thought is the one you want to act from. Guess what it does? It starts rewiring your brain. All of our brains are, it's got neuroplasticity to it. It does not matter how old you are. Until you draw your last breath, your brain has the capacity to adapt to new habits and new thinking. Sitting around and thinking, I'm fucking too old and I've thought this way too long and my shit runs deep, Corinne, and this is old ingrained patterns. That's all thoughts that do what? Make you feel like shit and convince you that you can't change. You're so focused on how old you are and how broken your thoughts are and stuff. All you're doing is rewarding your brain for an old shitty. Stop that. Thinking is not set in stone. You get to change it when you want to. It just takes some work. That's it. All right. That's my talk. Who is wanting to get coached? Now, I'm going to call somebody to get coached. If I solved the problem and all we're really talking about is you just need to start practicing some new thoughts, you don't need to be coached. You know what you need to do? Every one of you, when you're listening to this replay, take something that I said, put it on your damn calendar, get out your planner, write it down, and say, like, this is how I'm going to practice it. This is how I'm going to do this. This is when I will be doing it. I notice my common old shitty thought is when I eat this or when I'm not going to have that, whatever it is. That's my trigger. I'm going to write it down in my planner. I'm going to get this shit done. There ain't going to be no more sitting around in no BS hearing me do shit and y'all not taking action. I'm going to remind y'all every fucking call I do, write something down and put it into play. You don't have to do every single thing I tell you on every single call, but you always can pick one thing. Always. So, let's either get coached or you guys can ask a question, however you want to do it. You can put up in the Q&A if you want to. I'll get to as many as I can. I actually have a call that starts at 11 today. So y'all don't let me get to running off at the mouth and miss my other call. let's see. Oops. Hang on. I got to pull up the attendees. Chris. And remember, this got to be about restriction. Y'all don't come on here talking about your mother. Y'all don't do that tomorrow. We're always talking about them mamas, y'all. Hey, Chris. Listen.
Hey. How are you?
Good. What you want coaching on?
So I was just recently diagnosed with diabetes type 2, probably like 2 weeks ago. I also am a year free from cancer, so it's been kind of an interesting health year. But so when I got diagnosed with diabetes, of course my doctor said, say low carb. So I went and I'm actually doing okay with that. So I've been going and I've been looking up keto recipes and we've been adjusting dinners and I do have some, you know, the thoughts that come up like, oh, they're eating pasta and I'm eating zoodles. And I'm like, no. My thought has been, this is just the way I eat. This is how I eat. This is how I take care of myself because that's important to me.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of feel like I'm in, in a good gangbusters, like I'm doing this, I'm looking, I'm enjoying finding new recipes, baking things, all that kind of stuff. My question is, how do I sustain that?
So you just keep doing exactly what you're doing. The way you sustain it is by telling yourself, like when I talked about over-identifying, you're either going to over-identify with like what you're missing out on, or you're going to over-identify with what you're gaining.
Okay.
And what you like about it. So like, this is so interesting. You said something about the zoodles, because I love zoodles, and actually
no, I don't mind them.
Like Logan, other day, he's a big pasta eater. He's always loved pasta. His grandmother, she's not Italian, but she thinks she is. They're like obsessed. And one day, I like spaghetti squash too. And so a lot of times when I do the food prep stuff, I get spaghetti squash with Parmesan cheese and bacon and mushrooms and meatballs on it, because I'm a big meat eater. Yum. Well, he was just chowing down on my food the other day. This was like a few weeks ago. And I said, you know, you're eating your mama's food, right? Like that. And he said, this is yours? He said, it's so much better than mine. And his normally has pasta in it. So it goes to show that it's right. always about our thoughts, you know. But one of the reasons I wanted to ask you is because, like, when you said they're eating pasta and I'm like, and I'm just eating zoodles, even though you like it in that moment, if you really want traction, tell yourself, like, I think I'm just forgetting how good this tastes, and remind yourself, like, this actually does taste good, because your brain is still, like, even though you kind of are like, no, we're eating this, this is good for us and whatnot, give it something to delight in. If you actually like the taste, you're going to need, like, whenever it's focusing on somebody else's food, you're going to need to remind yourself, like, hey, I actually like this.
So I made, we got invited to a friend's house. I know it's COVID, but we got invited to a friend's house for dinner, and they said, bring dessert. And I was like, oh crap, dessert. I love me some dessert. So instead of doing that, I went on Pinterest and I found keto lemon bars, and I love a lemon bar. I love a lemon bar. And nobody knew that they were lemon bar. They were, my husband did, because I was like, you got to taste these, make sure they're okay, because I don't want to bring something that tastes like shit to somebody's house. I'm like, you got to test. He's like, oh my God, these are great. So I've been, you know, like those kinds of things where I'm like finding things that I'm like, oh, this is really good, and it's not a substitute. But I just worry that, you know, I'm only 2 weeks in, right? So I'm worried that I'm going to be like, easing.
The only reason why we backtrack is if we don't stay on top of our thinking. Okay. Like there's no like magic, this just suddenly feels bad.
Okay.
It's always our thinking changes. Right now, you're very aware that you need to think differently. You're telling yourself new stories. You're looking for ways to make it easy and stuff. And it's all coming from this mindset of, I'm going to learn to do this lifestyle. Like that's right. Like in the energy. If you start feeling a different way, it is not because you've been doing it a while. It's because you'll start having thoughts of like, oh, this sucks. I wish I didn't have to do this. Like, it'll be because you don't stay on top of your thinking. That's right. Always what changes when it comes to weight loss. It's never, ever that we run out of steam. We stop thinking the things that were exciting us. We stop thinking the things that were driving us. We stop listening for the old shitties. We just start having shitty thoughts and believing them. Like there's no step two. It's just like, yeah, it does suck. I should call my bestie. You know, it's like
right. You
have to, like, if you stay on top of your thinking and you keep, I promise you, if you will journal about this and you will journal about how I'm going to feel amazing, I'm going to have total control over my diabetes, and this is how I'm going to do it, and this is the way I'm going to think about my life, and here's all the things I'm going to appreciate, I'm going to learn to like new foods, there's thousands of recipes, I live in a day and age where you can eat like a queen if you want to.
Right. Like, there's all kinds of substitutes. Yeah.
Yeah. When you stay in that mindset, you don't run out of steam.
Okay.
So you'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, this is the first time I've gotten coached, and I think I've been on since like 2016.
Oh my gosh. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Well, it's no time like 2021 for you.
Nothing like 2021 for me. Cool. Thanks, Corinne.
Well, please make sure that you stay on top of this, because I'm not shitting you. When I told my story, you know, my grandmother didn't, and pancreatic cancer is no joke.
My dad died of, I watched my dad die of diabetes complications.
Yeah.
And it's not pretty. And, you know, watching his feet turn purple and all that nastiness that goes with him insisting like a baby that he had to have whiskey when it was the worst thing for him, and all the stuff that, you know, he had to, it was hard to watch. And so that's sort of, you know, it, watching that happen, I think is one of my motivations to say, I don't want to be that. And I don't want to go down that road. You know, my older brother also has diabetes. And he's, you know, on disability, he can't work anymore. He's, you know, sick all the time, you know, but so seeing that and watching them do that, I know I want to do differently.
I have a journal on, because it's real easy to, and it's not that it's bad, but it is really easy to know what you don't want.
Right.
But what's really important for you, Chris, is to make sure that you do some time thinking about who you do want to be and what your future is going to be like, and deciding that in your brain. Did you do the workshop we did a few weeks ago where I took everybody through their who you want to be, the why? We were doing the interview. Did you do that?
No, that one. Yeah. Uh-uh.
Do that. That's okay. I just want you to watch that. It's inside the bonus courses.
Okay.
And I think it's called, somebody in my team, when you tell me what it is, it's, I think it's the future you, or basically I talk about the why and who you want to be. You need to do that, because what we want to do is that as you're shifting your mindset around the, just the food in and of itself, we want to shift your mindset around who you're going to be as this new person who's taken authority over food and taken authority over diabetes and stuff. That's going to be as important as anything else.
Okay.
And that will be how you won't run out of steam.
Okay.
Okay,
cool.
Thinking awesome. Like the future you, that's the name of it. Thank you, Dina.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, Cheryl. Hey, Cheryl.
Hey, good morning. Good
morning. What are we coaching on?
I am, just a really quick background. I have rheumatoid arthritis, and I have bipolar. So I've really been trying to use like whole food type diet, because that really helps lower the inflammatory response, as well as to help with the mental health and things like that. But and I'm also trying to plan in the foods that I love, and a lot of sugar are foods that I love. But I just feel like if I cut these foods out that I won't lose, I won't lose, and I won't be able to keep going, like with my plan.
So do you want to cut out the sugar foods? Is that what you're wanting to do?
Because it helps me. It helps my arthritis. It doesn't hurt. So I just lose it, and I go around and throw all of these foods out, and then I go back and buy them again, and then I throw them all out again. And I'm just like, well, it's not working for me. So I just want to quit and save money and stop all of this cycle of insanity. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
But here's what I want you. First of all, I just want to give you a few lush thoughts. This is not a cycle of insanity. You might be being a little dramatic. You're like every other woman is like, I like these foods, and I know, but like, this is the thing I want you to think about. You're simply just buying foods that you have a story around that you love. And I know it feels very true, but when you think, I love these foods that I know aren't helping me with my, you know, aches and pains and my mental health, how does that feel?
It feels restricting. And then I want to eat it more.
When you say, listen to what I said. I love these foods that harm my body. How does that feel?
It doesn't feel very good because it hurts my body.
Well, and that's the thing is that I think we all have to realize is that when you're going to cut out some foods that you have to get really specific around what's going on. A lot of us love to throw around the word, I love them. The problem with doing that is that it's overly emphasizing this emotional relationship with food that's not going to help you develop an emotional relationship with who you want to be.
Right.
So it's like learning to change our language around all of it. Because here's what I know. You don't really love them. Because if you really loved them, you wouldn't be on a call trying to figure out how to stop eating them and do it in a way that doesn't feel like ass.
Yes.
It's like, I like the taste of them, which is way different than I love them.
Yeah.
And they, you know, make me go into crazy patterns.
Truth. It's like, as soon as I say, okay, I'm going to do Whole Foods, I'm going to do this for my health, I instantly start saying, I want these M&Ms. I want these
cookies. So when do you think that, though? I want you to think about this. When you think, those are just thoughts. I want M&Ms. I want cookies and stuff. Like, I want you to just, like, let's just look into your brain for a moment as a scientist. Those are just sentences. So that means if they're just sentences when they come in, what is your next thought? Like, I should go get some?
Or should do you have equal air time?
Do what?
I give equal air time to the other.
So what is, so when that happens, what is your equal air time? When you start thinking, I want cookies, I want M&Ms, what's your equal air time?
I do want them, but I know that they won't support my ultimate goal of better health with the arthritis and the.
And you're saying that every single time your brain goes to, I want this.
No. Right now.
Yeah, on the call with Corinne, that's what I give equal airtime. But in the moment, it's like, I want this. It feels very real. We should just go get it, you know. But that's what I'm talking about is I, like, the reason why I want to, like, raise up and just kind of look into your brain is that I think what we forget is, like, we just, it's almost like, Corinne, but my brain starts saying, I want these foods. It's like, of course it will. Because you've always thought about when you take those foods away that you can't have them.
That right.
That something's wrong with me and that's why I have to take these foods away. Rather than thinking about I have to take these foods away because something's wrong with me. What if, like, I'm choosing to take these foods out of my diet because I'm going to feel better? And being
really, I like that.
Yeah, like simple. A lot of y'all need some simple language.
And I make it so complex. You're right. I'm like all or nothing perfectionist. And boy, that I have to remember to reel it in and be very simple. So
do more. I know I tell you guys this all the time, but I promise you, you know, especially when you're probably more on to your doo-doo thoughts. And a lot of times what we want to do is we want to just journal about everything that's wrong. Yeah. I want a lot of you, especially when it comes to a special diet and stuff, I want you to start doing more journaling around how I could be thinking about all of this. Like, if I could think anything, I want to think these things. And, you know, I want to start thinking about when I'm going to do Whole Foods, I want to start thinking about it like it's a gift I give myself. And when I think about it being a gift, how do I talk to myself about it? When I have my natural urges and desires for these foods that taste good but aren't helping me, how do I want that conversation to go in the moment? And I think that's the other thing that I want to, you know, and I feel for you with the bipolar. I was diagnosed bipolar at one point. I'm not sure if I am, but I've had depression. I've had a multitude of diagnoses in my past. I think for people like us, it's more important than for anyone to be writing our thoughts down, because when they're in here, they are very jumbled. Mm-hmm. And they're hard to sort out. And that's why I always say, paper thinking is a gift we give ourselves. It allows us to look and sort out and pull it apart and like, this is the collection of thoughts that I'm going to need to work on.
Mm-hmm.
And without judging them and without calling yourself crazy or any of that stuff. And then here's the collections of the thoughts that I'm going to create. I'm going to build for myself. I'm going to write about frequently so that I can start training my brain to access these more often.
Okay. It's really hard to journal when you're in the middle of an episode. I'm sure you've experienced that. It's really hard to just, yeah. I journaled one time and I reread it after I was done with an episode. I was like, yeek.
But that's the thing. This is what I want you to do. I want you to, it could be helpful when you're in an episode. And then when you go back and read it, if you really want to throw gas on the fire to building a relationship with yourself, mm-hmm. rather than going E or thinking something was wrong with me, think, I'm so glad I was there for myself in that moment. Because all of that was going on in my head. And I bet the version of me who was writing got some kind of relief.
Oh, that makes me feel so good. Makes me love me. Okay.
That's thank what you want. And I want you to build a loving relationship with yourself. It's so easy when you have any kind of mental health stuff mm-hmm. to just be hard on yourself about it. I mean, yeah. I think we walk around with a stigma that something that we're broken somehow. And we're just not broken.
Because society looks at us like we're crazy.
Well, and we have to stop looking at ourselves like we're crazy if we ever want society to look at us different. We have to quit agreeing with society.
Yeah,
that's true. We agree with them when we beat ourselves up over it. And I think that that's like a huge first step in, you know, redirecting the conversation around mental health.
Okay. Well, thank you. I didn't mean to get off on mental health.
You're fine. You're fine. So I think this was probably helpful for a lot of people. We ain't the only two in the group.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Megan? Hey, Megan.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, sorry, I hope my thing doesn't cut you off here. Okay, so I was diagnosed with PCOS back when I was 16.
Okay.
And I know this is a thought, but I've struggled with how, ever since then. I know that I should be eating a lower carb, higher protein. And I've done keto in the past and felt amazing, like had incredible amounts of energy. And I lost 30 pounds like really quickly. My body just didn't want it and let it go. But for me, I do not like meat.
You don't like what? I couldn't hear the word.
I don't like meat. I don't like hamburger. I don't like chicken. You know, it's not my preference to eat that kind of food.
If I could just eat it for you, I would. It's my favorite. I can just eat a chunk of meat at any moment.
So that led me to a lot of restrictive feelings. And
no, wait a minute. What led to restrictive feelings? What did I teach?
Well, my thoughts about how I need to eat to make my body feel well.
No, it wasn't. You weren't thinking that. That didn't lead to restriction. You were thinking some bullshit about the food you couldn't have, that felt restrictive. If you had been staying in the state of, I'm eating this way because it makes my body feel amazing. I'm eating this way because this is the best choice for me. I'm eating this way because I love myself. You would never have felt it restricted. Like, I just want to make sure we're real clear because this is what all of us do. We start saying, but it was the foods, Corinne, the lack of this, the not being able to have that. That's what led to me feeling terrible.
Yeah.
You only feel restricted when you allow yourself to apply thoughts to whatever you're doing that create restrictive feelings. And this is key because if you're ever going to take authority over all of it, if you're ever going to feel in control, you have to really understand the difference between what I think's causing it. Like you think the not having of the food is causing it. It's not that. It's always your thoughts. If you guys ever learn anything, it's just, let's just make sure we're always super clear. Our thinking drives all of it. that puts you in the driver's seat. Okay, so keep going.
So I really need to get, I guess, a handle on my thoughts about having PCOS and really get clear with myself about what I need to do and how I want to be in order to switch those feelings around.
Yeah. I mean, that's literally all you have to do. You need to write PCOS. I know you can't see it. Where I've got special diet written, you need to get out your journal. You need to write PCOS. And you need to list all the thoughts you have about it. Every one of them. And that will give you the list of the reasons why right now you're stuck. Like, if you give me a thought that you have about PCOS.
Other than it sucks. Other than
you can't afford to think it sucks. How do you feel when you think this sucks?
I feel like it defines me.
So that's another thought. So we've got it sucks. It defines me. How does that feel?
Terrible. It feels terrible, and I feel stuck. I do. I feel stuck. Not really in any other other part of my life. The rest of my life is going great. But when it comes to the PCOS and the losing, trying to lose weight, I feel stuck.
Well, that's why whenever you're trying to lose weight, you're doing it from this place of something's wrong with me. It defines me. It sucks. And you're probably wondering, like, I wonder why it's so hard to stick to a plan.
Yeah.
There's no motivational talk going on. There's no reason to do it. You're just giving yourselves reasons to feel like shit. Yeah. And then be like, well, if I would just lose weight, I guess I'd feel better. Not if you're going to sit around and think shitty thoughts all the time. Like, you just got through telling me that it doesn't define you and you didn't even realize that you did.
Yeah.
Like, obviously PCOS is not defining you because you said, I have a good life.
Yeah.
That's the contrary thought. It's like, no, I'm wrong. I have a really good life. I just happen to have PCOS and I can work on that.
Okay.
Way better thinking than sitting around going, it sucks for me. I got PCOS. Let me just over-identify with my brokenness instead of over-identifying around what's right in my life. And because I created all this amazing stuff in my life, I probably could figure out how to eat in a way that allows me to also gain authority over my weight and PCOS.
Okay. I have journaling to do.
Definitely. Okay. Like, find your crappy thoughts and then decide, like, spend half the time just getting aware of your crappy thoughts. And I want you to get aware of them because when they come up, you've got to be, y'all can't see shit. I don't know why I keep doing this. On old shitty process, you've got to be aware when they're happening. Right now, you're not aware of them. You're thinking they're just true.
Yeah.
And what we want to do is we want to move from these thoughts that are running wild all the time, making me feel terrible, to getting super aware of them so that you get to start changing how you think about it. Adding on to the story, reminding yourself of, like, if I'm going to give airtime to the shitty, I've got to give airtime to what's right too. I owe it to myself to do that. So I want you to write, like, these are the shitties I need to pay attention to. But man, if I was going to think about, if, like, let's say you are going to do keto to do this, then you need to spend more time thinking about why it's great for you and how you could do it without ever having to eat meat. There are lots of people who do keto who do not eat meat. Go to Pinterest. You will find plenty of them.
Okay.
If you want to make it easy by asking the easy questions, like, how do I get this done without being a meat eater? If that's what you want to do, you may even want to look into, like, do I need to do keto? Is there maybe, because I've been feeling so sorry for myself about having PCOS, maybe I should go out there and see, is there new ways to deal with it with diet that's not involving keto? But, like, being open to the idea that you can take authority over it versus I'm so broken and it defines me. There's no creativity on the other side of that.
Well, and I think I've been so obsessed with needing to go low carb because that was, I don't want to say what works, but what helped me lose it in, you know, in the first place. I don't think I've done any other research. I don't think I've looked, I've just been stuck on that.
When you lost your weight, did the PCOS go away?
I have to say that I've been relatively lucky. I don't have a lot of other symptoms other than the weight, the stubborn weight.
Okay.
You know, I have two kids. I was lucky enough to be able to have two children. But
so wait, just, for sure, you need to remind yourself, whenever, like, this whole PCOS defines me, I'm like, what if we just told the story of, it doesn't define me. I've got two kids.
Yeah, I guess I think it defines my quote-unquote dieting life and my story around losing weight. I really think that's where that it defines me comes into play. Yeah, I don't think of that as far as the rest of my life. It's just around the weight.
Here's the thought I want you to have. Mm-hmm. It doesn't define the way I lose weight. That was always one way. That was always my choice. I decided that was the answer. I just got to decide now if that's the answer. If there's other answers, if there's other ways I want to look at this.
Okay.
PCOS is not going to make you do anything. It will always be because Megan makes decisions. And you just got to like your decisions. And that is from the journaling and like understanding why you're making the decisions you do. Like the decisions are just the things you do on the do line. The things I do eat, the things I don't eat. All of that is just do's. I just want you to always be checking, like, how am I thinking and feeling driving me to do this? Whatever you're thinking and feeling that drives you to do, it's either going to have enough emotional energy behind it to sustain you and to change you as a person and redefine the relationship you have with yourself, or it's going to be an energy vampire. It's going to suck the life out of you and you're going to burn out and never change as a person. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Y'all, I am so sweating in this sweater. Let me take some questions and then we'll see if we have time to get to one more. Let me put my glasses back on. Can you talk a bit about restriction versus the idea that you should be able to eat anything you want if hungry and until satisfied? None of us should be able to eat anything we want. Should is such a damn, like, fucking dirty word. None of us should be able to eat anything that we want and as much as we want. Here's the real rule. I decide how I'm going to eat in order to feel my best. Your best is your definition. That's it. I'm going to tell you right now, there are lots of foods Corinne does not eat. They don't feel amazing in her body. Guess what? I don't think I should be able to eat them. That's such a waste of time. It's like, here's the foods that don't feel good in Corinne's body. You know what I like? Feeling good. I like that way more than sitting around grousing about what I can't have. At some point, we have to decide. We have to quit making our life all about like that next meal and what we get to eat. It's always an indicator when you're so upset about foods that you can't have, there's an indicator light going off for you on your dashboard that you're thinking about yourself and your life needs to up level. If all you're doing is looking forward to the food. Like I would much rather than you guys trying to figure out how you can get to eat more things, I'd much rather you figure out how to go out and get busy on creating a life you want, trying the things you've always been afraid to try, putting more joy and excitement in your life unapologetically. I'd much rather you spend a lot more mental energy over there. Some of you won't even go buy good fitting underwear because you're of your size. And you'll spend your days picking panties out of your ass and stuff. It's like, God, stop settling in your life and then wondering why you need food to make it exciting. Look for the ways that you're holding yourself back and you're not doing things and you're using your weight as a way to blame checking out of life. Your weight is not the problem here. It's like, are you going to be brave enough to go after the life you want? Are you going to be courageous to start living? No matter what size, no matter where you're at in the journey. I don't have a medical restriction. However, based on past experience, I lose weight when I follow the DASH diet. It seemed pretty sustainable. Things like Whole30 brought up all the feelings. Remember, Whole30 doesn't bring up feelings. Whole30 might trigger some thinking, but that's your job to make sure. It's like, oh, if I'm feeling restricted when I think Whole30, DASH, four basics, whatever, all I need to do is find, what am I thinking? Something that I'm thinking is jacking me up right now. This does not mean you have to do Whole30s, guys. It does not mean you have to do all these. But I do want you understanding that none of them are to blame for how you feel. When you take that part out and you just look at how you're thinking, then you at least give yourself an honest review of like, I want to do it for these reasons, or I don't want to do it for these reasons. And I like my reasons, but it's not because I'm like, oh my God, my Woody has been taken from me and it's so unfair and I don't get to have these things and she does and he does and everybody around me seems to be able to do whatever they want except for poor pitiful me. That's where we get hosed. That's dramatic. It's like, it's a diet. You're going to have thoughts. You either like them or you don't. If you want to do it, come up with better thinking. If you're like, no, it really doesn't suit me. I really do like these foods and I want to include them. So I'm going to figure out how to do this in another way. Then figure out how to do it another way, knowing that it's just possible. Like she says, I lost massive weight on Whole30, but it didn't feel good. If it didn't feel good in your body, it didn't work. Just because y'all, just because you do a diet and lose massive weight, that doesn't mean it worked. It means you lost weight. The result is bigger than that. Did you actually feel good? Were you clear-headed? Did you have more energy? Did you enjoy the life you were creating? All of that is the result. Not just fucking number on the scale changed. It's bigger than that, everyone. As a weight loss patient, the hormone that sends up hunger signal is removed. So the doctor tells us to eat every few hours. Finding hunger has been a struggle, which leads back to restrictive thinking. Any suggestions? Yeah, I would just eat every few hours. If you've had stomach surgery, that's very different than what I teach. You know, what I teach in the four basics is not going to work in that realm. That's been removed, and that's okay. But what will work is just knowing to eat every 2 hours and making sure that you eat every 2 hours, knowing this is what's best for my body. I don't have the hunger cue. So this part won't work, but the rest will. These other things will. I'll plan what I'm going to eat every 2 hours. Can you say more on how we can end up rewarding old shitty? Rewarding old shitty is just like, I'm just not paying attention to it. I'm just letting it run. And then I'm just sitting like, if you have the thought, I want cookies, and you don't think about anything else, and all you're like, well, I want cookies. It must be because of that restrictive diet. And you go eat some cookies. You just rewarded your brain to that every time it thinks I want cookies, that it's going to get a cookie. You need to make sure that when you have thoughts like, I just want it, that you always have an alternate conversation going on so that your brain gets used to triggering the alternate conversation. You may still eat the cookies in the very beginning until your brain gets so used to the alternate conversation that you start really paying attention to that side. And it's easier for you to do the new thing. So it's totally fine to choose restriction, like no sugar, no flour. Guys, it's not restriction. It's just a diet. If you're going to do no sugar, no flour, it just means you no longer eat those things. That's a restriction on the A line. That's it. Here's how you know, like, this is such a good question, Anonymous. I keep thinking I'm just choosing restrictions because of old diet mentality. You need to know, guys, why you're choosing it. diet mentality, it's like no sugar, no flour is not bullshit. Four basics is not old diet mentality. Nothing is old diet mentality. What's old diet mentality is put any diet you want out there. Your perception of it and the reason why you're doing it will tell you if you're in diet mentality. Diet mentality is, it's the only way that I can lose weight. I have to. Everybody else is doing it. So-and-so said I should do this, even though I don't like it. That's diet mentality. Diet mentality is thinking you're so broken that only this one way will work. Now, here's new hotness thinking, smelling like a rose. When I do no sugar, no flour, I know I feel physically better. I just have to work through all my shitty thoughts about it being unfair. But I know that one day I could love it if I just got over my old thinking. But doing it from the place of, because it actually works for you, it feels better. The main thing I want all of you to understand is I have nothing against any diet, unless it's like legit harebrained, like, you know, shots and eating 400 calories a day and all that. So I'm not down with all that bullshit. But whatever you're doing, I want you to like your reasons. So you put, like, you can do this two ways. First, you just write down the diet that you're going to do. Like, let's just use the four basics for example. You just write it down. And then you write all your thoughts you have about it. Like, this is amazing. This is so simple. It's not good enough. It won't work fast. Or it'll work really fast. I've never gave up my emotional eating before. Like, you'll have a lot of thoughts about it. Those, every one of those sentences will be a think, feel, do cycle. When I think this about the four basics, I feel this, and I'm more likely to do or not do these things. That's how you know if you're doing something from either an energy state that feels positive and future focused, or if you're doing things from an energy state that feels draining and exhausting. I have to. I can't have. It's unfair because that's energy draining thoughts that most of us have around diet plans. I choose to. I'm willing to. I'm trying this out to see how I feel. It's worth it because that's overly focusing on what's possible, on what's in your control. That's how you decide. The next way that you can figure it out is by not only, like, these are my current thoughts around it. Now what I want to do is I want to gut check myself. I want to put the four basics as something I do. So what thought and feeling am I doing it from? So I have my first of all, my general thoughts around it. Like, if it'll work, if it won't work, if it's right for me, if it's not right for me. And then I have my thoughts and feelings that drive me to do the work. And if you're looking at it from that perspective all the time, guys, you start cleaning your mind up around your food. You start making empowered choices for yourself. You start deciding to do eating. Like, I just like to think of it as like, this is just the foods I eat. And when I eat these foods, I want to love my reasons. I have designed my entire eating lifestyle around, these are foods I like. These are foods I want to include. And here's the frequency at which I include some of them and whatnot, because I see the payoffs and here they all are. Notice how I think and stage things in a way that's more what's in it for me, not how unfair it is for me or what I can't have. Losing your weight shouldn't be a punishment. It should be a gift you give yourself. And we do that by the way we think about all of it. Okay. My other call is starting. I appreciate all of you who are sitting there and saying, like, Corinne, you've got like 5 minutes. Corinne, it's almost time. Y'all always have my back, and I appreciate that so much. Y'all have an amazing rest of your Saturday. Share this call in the group, and I want you to take one thing I said. some of you, this is really important. You know, we have a special diets Facebook group. If you're not in that now, I suggest you go over there. Amazing advice gets dropped in there all the time. Super supportive group. But I want you to take something from this call that you learned, a wisdom nugget, drop it into our Facebook group, drop it into your social if you want to share it externally with people about what you learned. Just one thing. I would love to see them. I check Facebook all the time, guys. I check Instagram all the time. And then I want to know, if you're going to drop a wisdom nugget, feel free to share with me the one thing you're actually going to do and when you're going to implement it. Okay? Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.